here, in this dump.
You were a movie star, remember?
Welcome to the Green Screen of Death. My name is Adrian.
And my name is Bill.
So we're on episode 17, still trucking along here.
Nice.
How does it feel, man?
It feels pretty good. Like, we're getting pretty close to that year mark, man.
Yeah, almost a full year we've been doing this.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
After, I don't know if I said this before on the show, but after that first show, man, I don't know. I wasn't feeling it.
Oh, yeah.
I still haven't listened to that full entire show.
Oh, it's bad. I listened to about 20 minutes of it the other day, and I was like, man, we sound like such nerds, like uptight losers.
I was really scared of screwing up.
Oh, yeah.
Which is funny, because I am not that person.
Yeah, totally.
And I was stressed.
Let's get into episode 17.
Hell yeah.
So what have you been up to since the last episode?
I'm still coming off my festival hangover a bit. Still not sleeping terribly good.
Oh, really?
No.
Yeah, same
not,
here.
Not really. I'm still watching a lot of movies, watching a lot of sports, playing a lot of games.
Yeah.
Working too damn much.
Oh, tell me about it.
But, dude, I am so broke.
Yeah.
There was going on two film fests. Destroyed my financial well-being.
Oh, big time. Me too. I even considered not going to Whistler for about 5 minutes. And I was like, well, that would just be silly.
Yeah, Whistler in 3 weeks. Another film festival.
Yeah, another film festival.
That I totally cannot afford to go to.
That's right. Thankfully, it's only a four-day festival for us, right?
So. Yeah, but it's still going to be $500-$600 out of pocket, right?
Yeah. Yeah, minimum that much. Yeah.
But yeah, I got a really good deal on my pass. So.
Oh, that's right. You got $100 off for being one of the first 50 to buy it.
Yeah, so hey. Every little bit counts.
That's right. So you were talking about sports earlier. How are your teams doing?
United is doing okay. I think they're in seventh right now.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Pretty annoyingly bad loss to Chelsea last weekend. And then Man City, too. We won 1-0 on the weekend, but looked really ordinary. Sucks, because I'm so used to being a dominant powerhouse. And that sounds really shitty.
That's true, though.
Yeah. I'm used to them finishing no worse than third. And they finished seventh last year.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah.
The Red Wings are third in the conference.
Oh, right.
They're 7-3-4. Your Canucks are kicking ass.
Yeah, they're like, what are they, like 10-5 or something like that?
Yeah, about to be 10-6.
Yeah, they're playing Anaheim tonight. Yeah. So. They're going to lose that one for sure in Anaheim.
And my Packers are playing as we record this, and it's fucking killing me.
Yeah, I know, man. Sorry, man. It's like Sunday night football, and here we are.
Yeah, right as we're about to record, they're about to score a touchdown, and I'm just like, oh, I got to turn this off.
Yeah, that's right.
And then we had some audio problems.
Oh, yeah, some technical problems. Our show's cursed, as you said.
Totally
the last couple
cursed.
Episodes, it was me. I messed up the audio. I must have made a weird setting adjustment while picking up our equipment. I think it's all sorted out now.
I don't know if you guys have got the vibe off this yet, but Adrian's really picky about the audio.
Oh, yeah. I am. I was like ready to ditch the last episode and re-record. And we're like, no, man, it sounds fine.
It sounds fine. Like, it sounds better than anything we did in the first 5 episodes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was a little, it didn't have that rich, bold taste. the richness of our deep, awesome voices.
I know. I didn't get like a text message from Adrian about the show. And I'm like, what's up? He's like, yeah, I don't think we can put it out. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
It was gold.
Yeah, we're happy with how it turned out.
Yeah, it was fun.
Overall, it was good. Yeah, he's a minor snag.
He's a little paranoid.
That's right. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, and for my sports teams, yeah, the Canucks are off to a pretty good start. Liverpool is killing my soul right now. Like, Sturridge is still injured. And
Your team's injured.
Yeah, that's true. They're hurting right now.
If you guys didn't have Simo Mignolet in net saving your guys' ass every game, you wouldn't have a win in the last 2 months.
That's true.
Yeah.
The minor bright spots this season, Jordan Henderson, I really hope he becomes the next leader and carries the team for however long he plays. And Coutinho is looking really good. Sterling, always trying his best. He's just such a hard worker. And Balotelli is just a total bust right now. So,
told ya!
I was optimistic, and I was wrong.
After a three-game losing streak, your Dallas Cowboys came back today?
They lost two.
Two in a row?
Okay. Yeah, it was tough. For me, I've been like thumping my chest every week, going, "Yeah, Cowboys, what?" And being a total jerk online and being like, "My team's 5-1 and all this stuff." But yeah, they lost a couple. They got humbled. But yeah, they bounced back pretty nicely today. And I think they've got a bye week next week, so I get to chill.
It's Tony Romo and his back injuries, man. Oh, it's not a good sign.
Yeah. He's
not a young QB anymore, so yeah. You guys might start trying to steal one of Green Bay's quarterbacks. We got a few. They're pretty good.
Yeah, that's right.
You gaming?
Oh, yeah. I play Call of Duty Modern Warfare these days. Or Advanced Warfare.
Exosuits.
The exosuits are kind of cool. You jump around, you fly around, and it's kind of like old school Quake and all
jump
that
around.
Stuff.
Jump around. That's right. Jump up and get down.
Yeah, like that Irish rap band from the 90s.
House of Pain.
Yeah, I actually worked out a trade because me and my brother were native guys, so we barter. And
the fuck?
We worked out a trade for his monitor. It's like a 27-inch PC display with like 1 millisecond response time. It's super, super fast and built for gaming. So I hooked up my PS4 to that. And playing Call of Duty is just a world of difference on that. A lot of Call of Duty for me.
I still do not have a PS4 or an Xbox One.
Oh, that's right.
But I bought a Nintendo 3DS XL.
That's right.
And I'm playing Bravely Default.
Yeah.
It is awesome.
Sweet.
I'm like 30 hours in. It's my favorite game of the year so far.
Oh, cool.
I hope everybody gets to check that one out. If you like RPGs like me, that's all I really play pretty much. But yeah, it's pretty good. You heard that new Wu-Tang song?
No, I haven't. No, they haven't.
Oh, one. Yeah. Ruckus in B minor. Check that shit out on Spotify, man. It's very old school Wu-Tang.
Oh, good. Yeah.
There's even a little bit of ODB in it.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, they found a sample or something. Oh. I don't know where the hell they got that from, but he starts the song off.
That's crazy. Yeah. He must have been like, what the hell's going on here?
It's like Tupac, and it's like 10 posthumous like CDs that he put out after his death.
Yeah, all with like Eminem and stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
It's an awesome Dave Chappelle sketch about Tupac, and it's like talking about stuff in the future, even though he's dead. And
yeah.
Dave Chappelle. We miss you, buddy.
That's right, man. He's the best. Oh, I got a crazy story to tell. You already know the story, but I thought I better tell our listeners. What night was it? Friday night, I lost my wallet between me parking my car outside work. Walking back to work, I lost my wallet. I figured maybe I bumped it out of my pocket. Maybe it caught on my seatbelt and just fell out of my pocket. Bill and I searched the car. What did we search for? About 15 minutes? Searched the car.
Adrian thought he might have even like dropped it underneath his car. So he like pulled his car forward.
That's right.
It's like, this is getting weird.
Yeah. I was like, frisk me, Bill. Frisk me. Might be in there too.
We tore his, like, his office apart.
Yeah.
And, oh.
I even searched the garbage
bin in
my desk. And then we had to go see Birdman, and you had to like spot me for my movie ticket. I was like all stressed out and went home, checked my credit cards. Nothing was charged. So I thought, okay, well, if it is lost, somebody maybe found it. Maybe they have intentions of returning it. Woke up the next morning, checked my credit card statements. Nothing was on there yet. So I'm like, okay, that's a good thing. I went back to work. Halfway through my work shift, I received an email from Tim Hortons saying your Tim Hortons card has been automatically topped up because when it goes below $10, I auto top it up to $25 and it charges to my credit card. So I was like, somebody just used my Tim Hortons card.
Because you got to get that pumpkin scone when you need it, you know?
That's right.
And your French vanilla bullshit coffee thing.
Yeah, that's right.
Fuck, I hate Tim Hortons.
I love it, man. I'm all about it, man. So I logged into Tim Hortons website, saw the transaction on the card. It was like $5. I went to the Tim Hortons across the street because I work exactly where I lost my wallet. Went to the Tim Hortons, looked across the room. There was only one dodgy looking character in the room. And I went to the girl who's working there and I said, hey, this is a bit weird, but did that guy happen to pay with the Tim's card?
You profiling bastard.
That's right.
The sketchiest guy in the room. You bastard.
Yeah.
What did he do to you? He stole your wallet. Shit. Yeah.
He was white too. So this is a racial thing.
Racist. Yeah.
So this dodgy looking white guy, she was like, yeah, he did pay with the Tim's card. And I was like, was it in the amount of about $5? And she checked her log because he was like the last customer. She's like, yeah, it was like $4.90. I was like, that's the guy. By the time I finished this conversation, he walked out of Tim Hortons. So I bolted out of Tim Hortons, saw him around the corner. So I go walk to where he was going. And he was like halfway down the block by the time I saw him. So I was like trying to catch up to him. And then he goes into this building that's just down the street, and it turns out it's kind of like a
subsidized housing.
Yeah, that's right. The door's locked. I peek my head in there and I'm like, oh, he just went up the stairs. I missed the guy completely. Called the police. Half an hour later, a police officer shows up. Would go to the building manager.
Did he come out of Tim Hortons?
That's right.
Sorry.
Good one.
Yes.
That's right. He had some
a big giant bear claw.
Yeah, he had some glaze on the side of his face. So he went to the building manager and he's like, oh yeah, we have security cameras there. We'll check the cameras and see if that's the guy. So we checked the cameras and sure enough, I was like, that's the guy. And then 10 seconds later, you see me peeking my head through the window. And it was so funny. We found the guy in the building and he's like, oh yeah, it was... I went to the library and Googled your name and couldn't find your phone number. He was like, I was getting ready to bring it out to you at your house. And I was like, oh, okay.
He didn't download the podcast? Motherfucker.
I know. I should have been like, oh yeah, by the way, make sure to listen to Green Screen of Death.
Dude, I'm Adrian Charlie from the Green Screen of Death.
Don't you know who I am? But yeah, I found my wallet. Like, how crazy is that?
Okay, so not only are you like detective cop guy, you're like a ninja. Peeking around corners and...
Yeah. Following people, stalking him.
It's pretty cool that you found your wallet, man.
That's, yeah. Like, what are the chances of that?
I would have been just like, call it in and cancel my stuff.
I was getting ready to do that. I was like, man, it's going to cost me like a couple $100 to replace everything.
What happens if this guy is like a cyber thief and he's got all your info? I'm totally trying to paranoid you out here.
Yeah. I actually will probably replace my cards just to be safe.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Yeah, in case he wrote shit down. But he looked like he was about 65. So.
Oh.
He was not tech savvy.
He's not buying an Xbox One and Call of Duty on your credit card?
He definitely won't be. That'd be pretty cool, though. Maybe I'd get a new Xbox Live friend out of it. Anyway, that's my lost wallet story, and it's one for the ages. And I was like, oh, that'll make good podcast material.
Racist.
White guy. Stole my wallet. I beat him down.
And to all the people that who maybe thought that I stole his wallet, fuck you.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm a nice human.
It was Bill the whole
sometimes.
Time.
Okay, I'm not. That's right. Actually, the best part of the whole story, I was telling Kelsey about it. I was like, yeah, Adrian lost his wallet. And I'm like, do you want to hear the funniest thing? Adrian has a Coach wallet.
Yeah, that's right.
And she's like, isn't that only for like female purses?
Oh, no way, dude. No way. Coach is the bomb,
oh,
yo.
Oh, come on, dude. And I'm like, yeah, it's like Lululemon pants for men.
That's right. Not even close. What the hell, dude? I do have a Coach messenger bag,
though. Oh, dude.
Make sure to tell her about that.
Oh, dude. Right on. You're all right, on the rants. Yeah,
maybe I'll get some yoga shorts next time downtown. Like, check it out, man. They're so comfy. And
oh, they grip places you're not supposed to have gripped.
That's right.
Oh.
They keep the boys in check.
All right, on to the rant. Enough of me hijacking.
That's right. Yes. We should move on to the 60-second rant. Do you want to go first or me go first?
Oh, you can go first.
All right, I'll go first.
I only have one this time.
Yeah, like that's right.
Two in a row, I've only had one.
That's crazy. So my 60-second rant is when we, and when I say we, I mean Victoria, gets the fake version of Studio Ghibli films. The Wind Rises, when it came here, I was so stoked. But they played the dub version, which is the English version. The version for idiots, which carries a completely different tone of the movie. Because we watched both versions. We did see the dubbed version and the subbed version. Now, my rant is that the tale of the Princess Kaguya is coming to the Vic Theater, and they're playing the dubbed version. And they're like an art house kind of place where that's the one place where it should be safe to play any film in any language. But they're playing the dubbed version. And I was so disappointed because it's a fake version. It's totally bullshit.
Anybody who's coming to that film does not want to see it dubbed.
Yeah.
And they're going to see it dubbed and they're going to be pissed. We've both already seen the subtitled version at film festivals.
And it's amazing.
And it's really damn good.
Yeah.
Dubbed films are inexcusable.
Yeah, and this one is, each of those films are deeply cultural. And when you remove that culture's voice from the film, you make it a North American version. And that's, I hate that so much.
Yeah, I don't care what voice actors you get, you're still not going to make it the same.
Yeah.
You're just not.
Yeah.
It doesn't work like that.
Yeah. I fully agree.
Original language, or don't even waste my time. Period.
If anybody happens to listen, please, 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 always get the subbed version, not the dubbed version. You're doing a disservice to the community that loves
this. I really hate saying don't support a film. But it's a really good film.
Oh, it's great.
And
yeah.
I like the Vic Theater. I like the people who run it.
Yeah, they do a great job of programming. Just
really stupid.
Yeah, that's why it stings so much, because they've been bringing in great films all year long.
Yeah.
And to bring in a fake version of a great film is just so disappointing.
Yeah, what are you going to do, right? To sound really pompous, but we've already seen it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Anyway, rant over.
My rant is about Interstellar.
Oh, yes.
Second podcast in a row, I'm going to rant about Interstellar.
Yeah, what's going on?
Remember when you first saw Dark Knight and you heard Bane? And you were like, what the hell is Bane saying? It's just because, and everybody was like, it's just the way Christopher Nolan mixes his films.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just can't hear it. That's not cool. So, Interstellar, press screens. For all the big junket horrors in LA and New York. Same thing. You can't hear Matthew McConaughey because of his stupid accent and the really overbearing score.
Yeah.
Michael Caine. Anybody right. who has an accent in the film, sometimes you just can't hear them because it's either inaudible or it's just going too fast or something. You just can't hear it.
Yeah.
They knew about this a month ago. Couldn't they put a sheet in the digital hard drive or the 70mm print or whatever that says, turn your center channel up. Probably take 30 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very frustrating.
So I suffered through Interstellar.
Yeah.
Not being able to hear parts of it. And I'm not the only one that said this.
No.
Everybody is saying it. What? I don't get it.
Yeah.
Why you know about it? Just fix it.
Yeah.
Not hard.
Yeah. And they did fix it with The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, they redubbed Bane.
Yeah. Yeah, because he was inaudible. That entire sequence, you couldn't understand him when they played that preview.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I don't know. Rant over.
Speaking of Interstellar, should we talk Interstellar?
Interstellar. This is the podcast where Adrian doesn't like things.
I told Bill before we started, I said, you know what? It's probably going to sound like I did not love Interstellar. That's not the case. I gave him a quick disclaimer before we recorded. So we've all seen the trailer. Earth is dying. Near future, we assume. Nothing looks super futuristic in this film. But the earth is dying. They can only grow corn. And
they just lost okra.
They just lost okra. Oh, my God.
No! Okra! Okra.
And there's no more okra. There's all kinds of crops that have been lost, and corn is all they can grow. So somebody else wrote a really funny joke about how corn is all they left. They could grow in the script for the movie. I thought that was funny. So they have to save the planet, save the people. They have to explore space for another universe, planet. Because Matthew McConaughey's the man who's going to save them all.
Because Earth is being overtaken by giant dust balls.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You think I'm joking? I'm really not.
Yeah.
Giant dust.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Storms, wind. Matthew McConaughey saying, put on your mask.
Yeah. And him crying and me crying. And just laying down the premise, I'll just tell you my reaction to the movie. The first thing I posted on Twitter after the movie was over, I said, that is fully realized ambition. And I say that as praise. And I say that because I believe the Nolan brothers, Christopher and Jonathan, they wrote the script. I believe they accomplished exactly what they wanted to do, visually and thematically. Yeah, sure, they're interested if everybody agrees with them, but not everybody's going to agree with them with everything they say and do in this film. But I applaud the ambition in this film. Like, the ambition is just through the roof.
Well, it's the Tarantino effect, right? Who's telling Quentin Tarantino no?
Yeah, exactly.
Who's telling Christopher Nolan no?
Yeah, nobody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I do think that sometimes the script is a little, okay, what?
Yeah.
But yeah. At the same time, I trust Christopher Nolan enough to be able to make that decision.
Mm-hmm.
Even when it doesn't work, somehow it kind of works.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense. But he's a really talented filmmaker. He's a good writer. And he has a really amazing imagination. Like, fuck. Like, Inception?
Oh, I know. Yeah. Yeah.
I can get really high.
Oh, yeah.
Really high.
Yeah.
Read the script and still not come up with that.
Oh, totally. Yeah. He's amazing. And I will always be there day one to see a Christopher Nolan film. One thing people are saying that about him as a filmmaker is that he's cold in general. I thought this was his most human movie in terms of emotions and warmth. Like, it is cold at times, but it's also very, there's some human moments in the film that really worked for me. There were moments where I was brought to tears and very upset and very happy and everything in between. As I left the movie, I was like, I don't know if I've ever felt that way during a Christopher Nolan film. I thought that was great. I thought it was a great accomplishment and kind of a nice transition for him kind of thing.
Not to hijack the podcast, but a little plug for Adrian's new Twitter handle.
Oh, that's right.
Did Adrian cry? At Did Adrian cry? So, Adrian, did you cry during Interstellar?
I did.
Nice.
I did. Twice. There were two moments. And if you want to know the moments, hit me up on Twitter. I'll tell you. There were two moments that just really rocked my soul. And I definitely cried. And that's that with that account, I post the movie title and say yes or no, and I keep it spoiler friendly. So I'm like, yes, made me cry because these actors did a good job, or I try to have fun with it.
Walls of tears.
That's right. I'm still crying 3 hours later. If I can nitpick a few things in Interstellar, these are the things that'll make you think, wow, Adrian didn't like that movie.
Adrian doesn't like nice things.
That's right. That's me. Hans Zimmer's score was too intrusive for me. There were a lot of moments in the film
where I thought, as I said, that could have been the mix. Like, it was mixed really high.
Possibly.
And if it had been kind of in the background, just chilling, you might not have had that thought.
Yeah.
I know it was overpowering, but yeah, that mix was really aggressive.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, I know. It's just, there were moments where I was like, oh, I'm supposed to feel something here. Oh, wait, Hans Zimmer really wants me to feel something here. And I'm like, fuck you. Yeah, that's right. There's an element introduced in the film in a world dominated by science.
In a world.
In a world where people are scientists and scientists rules all. And logic is number one. Love conquers all.
Love does conquer all, man. I thought you were a softie.
I am a softie, but once there's this bit of love that's injected into the film out of nowhere with no kind of buildup, with no... That stuff wasn't earned, in my opinion.
That's what I liked about the film, though. You were talking about how it felt like it was like the most heartfelt Christopher Nolan film.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the fact that the love aspect brought kind of a human frailty aspect to the film.
Yeah.
Inception or The Prestige or even like Memento. Like, he's mm-hmm. trying to find his wife's killer.
Yeah.
But he's a complete madman.
He's a maniac. Like,
there's no love in that film. Yeah. He just wants to kill John G. This one, I thought, was just open up and I want to take it all in, man.
Because
I love this film.
Yeah.
And you talk about how you have nitpicks other than a few weird little things.
Yeah.
I'm not even really going to nitpick.
Yeah.
Amazing film. Just the whole scope of it. It felt like... the film that Terrence Malick would have made if he had been born 40 years later and watched a lot of sci-fi.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
And I got nothing bad to say about the film. That's Adrian's thing. As I said, this is Adrian's I hate film episode.
Yeah, and this is Bill's I love everything. Even garbage.
I love everything.
We always avoid the spoiler talk. We eliminate spoilers all the time because we're not total dickheads. We're not here to ruin the movie for you. We're here to talk about the movie, maybe get you excited for it, maybe recommend it to you.
Screw that. I'm ruining it. Hal opens the pod bay doors.
That son of a bitch. Hal, I hate you.
Yeah.
The Lloyd Kaufman cameo was out of control. But anyway, the one thing I wanted to mention that's not spoiler talk, but if you've seen the film, and I'm hoping Bill knows what I'm talking about here, there's about a 15 or 20 minute sequence that just removed me from the film.
Use hand signals if you need to get me into it.
Removed me from the film and just completely disconnected me, and it took me a while to get back. Just the way it was edited together, there was a bit of a parallel kind of storyline going on, and it really just took me out of it. But at the same time, I have these gripes, but I still had a great time at the movie. I'm going to see it again at least one more time because I love, as you mentioned, the scope of the film. I love the ambition. I love the spectacle of watching Interstellar on the big screen, which looked tremendous in digital IMAX.
Did you find that the plot was hard to get? I've talked to a few friends over the last couple of days since it's been open for like, what, 2 or 3 days? I've heard two things. One, Matthew McConaughey's little girl was Renesmee in Twilight.
Oh, that's right. Renesmee, yeah.
I've heard this a few times.
Yeah.
Shoot me in the head. And that the plot made no sense.
Yeah, those are just dumb
and I'm
people.
Like, I thought this was like easily his like most straightforward film other than Memento. Like,
yeah.
And how do you not get this film? It's not tough.
Yeah.
This is not Shane Carruth.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you're not watching Upstream Color and you're like, fuck this, I'm done.
Yeah.
Like, it is super straightforward. Just pay attention mm-hmm. and stop taking your Adderall.
Yeah.
Because you have ADHD.
Yeah.
But, no, have you heard that stuff?
No, I have.
Other than
I have.
The Renesmee stuff?
Yeah. Is it bad if I recognized her as Renesmee?
Wow, dude.
Anyway, we'll save that for another
Shout out to Marina Antunes' Twilight Podcast.
Yeah, that's right. What up? Number one fan right here. But
did I tell you that we were talking during the film festival and I told Marina I wanted to go on the podcast to be like the person against them?
Oh, yeah. You mentioned that. Yeah, that would be awesome.
The one that rails against Twilight.
That's right. Oh, man. That would be awesome.
So I'm curious. I know I've been doing this a lot, but if you were to star rate this...
It'd be a 4 out of 5.
Wow, me. Dude.
4 out of 5, yeah.
Man.
Yeah. 4 out of 5 because of the score, the love stuff that didn't work for me, the 20-minute sequence that really didn't work for me. The other thing I didn't mention is that, kind of like Inception, he does have to explain a lot through exposition because people are stupid. There's a moment where Matthew McConaughey, who is a NASA pilot, asks another guy, how does a wormhole work? And I was just like, are you kidding me? He doesn't know how a wormhole works. So he has to explain it. And that's for the audience. And I get that.
Well, giant graph. Yeah.
And it's a simple thing. But there's times where the exposition is completely necessary. There's times when it's unnecessary. And there's times when I'm left going, I wish there was some exposition there. Like the people who go on the mission, we didn't know what each person did, who was in charge, who was the mission leader, where people ranked. They were just there. They were NASA. And I wish there was some kind of introduction. Hey, this is the botanist. This is the chaos theorist. This is, I'm talking about Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's why.
I do remember kind of zoning out during the film thinking, Anne Hathaway was in Les Mis like 3 years ago, and her hair is still really short.
Oh, yeah.
That's not cool.
Yeah.
I liked her with long hair.
Oh, yeah? I'll take her either way.
She looks like a bitch with short hair.
Oh, man.
Sorry, Anne.
I kind of dig that.
Really?
Sophisticated look. Yeah. Yeah.
I'll take Rachel getting married, Anne Hathaway with the bruises.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hot.
Bring it.
So, yeah, just because I asked you, I was to rate Interstellar, I would give it a 5 out of 5.
Yeah, that's...
I would say it's one of the best films of the year.
Right on.
And I think you all should see it.
It's definitely worth seeing, for sure.
I say see it on the biggest screen possible, but do not see it in IMAX.
Not IMAX.
Because the switching aspect ratios pissed me off.
Yeah, there were times when it was not necessary.
It was very distracting.
Yeah.
So, see it in the biggest non-IMAX digital screen you can find, because you're sure not going to find a 70mm print in Canada, let alone the United States.
Well, if you go to Calgary...
It's snowing in Calgary right now.
There's an IMAX in Seattle that's playing 70mm Interstellar, so if you want to spend a couple $100, let's go.
Yeah. I like film formats. Oh. I don't like movies. All I can talk about is film formats. Who cares what the movie's about?
Go to hell, man.
Hate you all. Watch the f***ing film.
Yeah, that's what matters the most. Yeah. Watch the movie. And if you have the choice of format, then yeah, make your own choice.
Like,
just
not,
see it.
Like, not to bring up Shane Carruth again, but he shot Primer on 16mm. It looks better than half the films out nowadays.
Oh, totally.
Like, what am I going to do? Screw you and your stupid masturbatory film references.
That's right.
Are we done with Interstellar?
We are done. We've gone over time.
Yeah, we went way over that, but I think that one needed that.
It did. It truly did.
Seeing how I think the next one's going to be really quick.
Oh, yeah. This one will be very fast. Boring Hero 6, or was it Big Boring 6, or the boring... What was it? Big Hero 6.
Big Hero 6. Yeah. Adrian's a comedian.
Oh, I'm so funny.
Yes.
Tell us what it's about, because I can't tell you what it's about.
Hey, it's Disney's first animated Marvel franchise.
That's right. I was really shocked by that.
Yeah. Sort of comes off like a manga, like a Japanese animation, cartoon, whatever you want to call it, whatever the cool kids call it nowadays.
Yeah.
I'll call it anime.
Yeah. That's right.
Because I'm old. A young boy who is a very smart kid is really into illegal bot fighting. You're yeah. saying, what the hell are you talking about, Bill?
Yeah, this what is that?
This is a kid's film.
That's right.
No, he's into bot fighting, making lots of money, ripping off adults.
Yeah.
And his brother, after him being caught bot fighting, tries to teach him the good ways by trying to get him to enlist into university. Adrian's laughing.
Yeah. I hated all that stuff. He's a shitty older brother. Dude,
you gotta have plot. It's origin. It's yeah, origin story.
I guess so, yeah.
His brother goes to this like super nerd school. Everybody's like totally smart and makes all these really cool inventions. And his brother's made this really cool invention that's gonna revolutionize the way we do everything. A giant inflatable nurse.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Yes.
Baymax. Yeah.
See, lots of other stuff happens in this film. I really don't want to say too much more because the trailer is really misleading. It's a different film than the trailer says. I think I've already said too much because the trailer does not say that stuff.
Yeah.
I really like this film. I think it's really cool that a film for kids actually shows kids being smart.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's a real rarity.
Yeah.
You get movies from other companies and the kids are really dumb or they're just following adults. There's no adults in this film except for the one kid has an aunt who owns a bakery store or whatever shop. Literally her whole entire thing in the film is to feed them.
Yeah, that's all she does. Yeah.
Here, have a bagel. I don't really expect much from these films. You know, we talked about it last podcast, and Adrian hated the trailer.
Oh, the marketing for this has been garbage.
And I will admit, the trailer is not terribly great.
Yeah.
But I think it's a pretty smart film. Just for the fact, that, as I said, I don't think it dumbs down for children. And I think it's a really good positive message. I'm sounding really positive this episode, and it's really freaking me out.
It's weird.
I know.
And I'm the opposite on this one.
And I really like this film. It's really cute and it's really fun. And I seriously think you can spend your money on a lot worse than this film. I think it's really good. And everybody in my theater loved it. And then I'm like, dude, I love Big Hero 6. And Adrian's like, oh, I totally didn't want to see it.
Now I'll see it
because your recommendations are always the best.
Bro. Not even close. Your recommendations go out the window with this one. I sat there completely bored the entire time. I think I chuckled a couple times at the Baymax stuff. Like, he does have a couple of really good comedic moments, just like physical comedy. But you've seen the trailer. Like, he does that thing where he inflates himself and tapes himself up. And it's a really long, stupid scene.
Which is funny because I saw that trailer 50 times.
Yeah.
And the theater I was with had not seen the trailer. That joke killed.
Oh, did it?
Wow, did that joke kill.
Yeah.
And it's a two-minute joke.
It is.
It's not just one thing he tapes up. It's like six.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a very long joke. I was like, oh, my God.
I just sat there rolling my eyes the whole movie. Like, the little kid, the brother, Baymax, the friends. I didn't care for any of them. I just thought, okay, I'm just going through the motions, just watching this movie. And I didn't think it really went anywhere. Like, I just couldn't care about any of the, like, the bad guy. Thought he was pretty lame. Like, you see a glimpse of him in the trailer. I don't really want to comment too much on him. And I thought he was very boring. I thought the hero stuff that you don't see in the trailer just fell flat for me. Like, I was just... Oh, there's some pretty colors. Oh, they're running around. Oh, looks like it was really tough to animate that. And I'm just like, at the end of the movie, I was just like, well, that was a waste of time.
Wow.
I just had no fun with it.
You know what, though, man? I said this to you last night, I think. At least you went and saw it.
Yeah.
At least you were able to say why you didn't like it.
Yeah.
And that's cool. I don't have a problem with anybody disliking a film,
yeah,
if they can tell me why they dislike it,
yeah, true.
Like, at least be able to formulate some sort of thought,
yeah,
not just fuck that film,
it sucked. Yeah. And I was trying to come up with more. I just, for me, there was just no hook. Like, there was
it's
no,
well, it's because you're wrong.
It's because I'm wrong. It's because the movie's bad and it's boring and it's, people will love it regardless because it's Disney, and that's a big part of it.
So fucked up. It's like we're like reversed. I like hate everything, and you like everything. What the fuck is going on?
This is a weird episode, bizarro episode. Yeah. I don't really have much else to say about Boring Hero 6. I'm glad little kids like it.
Well, when everybody checks this film out and they like it and they say this was a really underrated film, thank you, Bill. I'm going to say you're welcome.
Oh, man.
You're welcome. Because I obviously have had too many shots to the head this week, and I... My eye rolls have reversed. If for some reason I watch this film in 6 months and I hate it because I'm back to normal.
Maybe. Could happen.
I'm still not going to change my story. I'm always right.
You're always right. Yeah. Oh, man. Not this time, dude. But again, like, here I am. I'm an old man talking about an animated film that's made for families. Like... But a lot of the friends I have that are around the same age love this film.
Wind Rises is made for families in Japan.
That's true. That's true. And that's like, that's my shit right there.
Totally.
Yeah.
Fuck it, man. Don't make excuses for not liking a film. Yeah. You paid your money. You're allowed to dislike it or not.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So, yeah. I was cautiously optimistic after you told me. You were like, well, the trailer is totally... selling a different movie, and it truly was. Like, it doesn't...
The trailer sold a shitty movie, and the movie was even a shittier movie.
Translation, yes, that's exactly what I mean. Oh, well. Can't win them all.
Can't win them all, man.
Yeah, should we move to the next one?
This one will win them all, though.
This wins them all, Birdman.
Birdman. I saw Birdman a month and a bit ago.
You did,
and it's been killing me not to talk about this film.
Yeah. It's tremendous. It's Michael Keaton playing a character who is a former superhero named Birdman. He did 3 Birdman movies, right?
And then decided to stop because he thought he was selling out.
Yeah, after 3 of them. So years later, he's trying to make a comeback on Broadway, trying to prove that he's an artist. And he's... What did he do? He
wrote and directed the play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And started
it. And started it. Yeah.
And we'll have a lot to do with the production and everything in between. While he's rehearsing in the beginning with the cast, he realizes that one of the main characters is a shitty actor. And
fate intervenes.
Fate intervenes. A light drops on his head. The actor is no longer able to do the show. And then Ed Norton comes in. It's not Ed Norton. He's playing a character like a...
Mike Skinner.
Mike Skinner is his name?
Yeah.
Okay. Mike Skinner comes in, saves the day. He knows all the lines. He knows every role. And he's a Broadway star. And he is... Ed Norton's a scene thief in this movie.
He plays a psychopath kind of well in this film. A guy who is supposed to have it together, but you know deep down inside, he's not all there.
Yeah. He's very full of himself. Very sure of himself.
And he's wacky.
He's got no filter.
No.
He will make a fool out of everybody in front of a huge crowd because he's upset about something. And he is a method actor, too, which is just makes the movie work so much better.
Yeah, and they're doing Raymond Carver, which is like noir. And it's a very interesting thought about the actor who is... trying to make the comeback, except for the fact that he's broke.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and having to refinance his house to get money for the film. And then, oh, by the way, he's hearing voices.
Yeah.
And he's telepathically throwing shit around the room. And you don't know if it's real.
Yeah, you don't know. You don't know. Yeah, and the voice is Birdman.
It's Birdman. Yeah. Character.
You hear it in the trailer. He's got that deep voice.
This room smells like balls. That's
right. My favorite is when he goes, "You're a movie star, remember?" I was like, yeah. It's so good.
Yeah.
Snappy dialogue. It's presented as one continuous shot. It's not.
But there is some pretty obvious breaks in the cuts because sometimes it goes from like day to night or night to day, and you see it that way, or like they'll be walking down a hallway and it'll pan away and it'll cut to the play. There's times in this film where it feels like it's like a 25 minute long shot. I think I'm pretty good at finding cuts. I couldn't find a cut in these things. Like, you know, he didn't film it for 25 straight minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really hard to, and it's not like I was looking for them. Like, but one of the common kind of ways to throw in a cut is when the camera zooms away really quick. Like when you throw throw a cup at the wall, yeah. You can make that a cut because, you move the camera really fast. And you can insert and start over from there. But yeah. It's really cool how it works. It's seamless. And these are complicated camera movements, too. Like yeah. They'll be up on the second level, and they'll move down to the first level. And you're like, wait, how did they move down that way? Like, what's going on here?
So, yeah, the film was directed by Alejandro González Iñárritu. And the DP is Chivu Lebesky. Manuel Lebesky. Everybody calls him Chivo. And I'll be damned if there's a better shot film this year. And it's not about the look.
No.
It's just about the way it's shot.
Yeah.
Like it's pretty rare to see a film like this. The awesomeness of Michael Keaton, the awesomeness of everybody in the film. Like, yeah, even you were saying, like, I don't like Emma Stone, but I liked Emma Stone in this film.
Yeah. She's like, really winning me over this year.
Everybody's really amazing in this film.
Yeah.
And come for the awesome plot and the awesome everything in this film.
Yeah.
But be amazed by the way this film is made.
Oh, totally. Yeah. It's funny, too. It's so funny.
Yeah.
Like, I was laughing through the whole movie. So, no, I did not cry during Birdman.
Damn it!
But yeah, the shots, like there's shots in Times Square. You've seen him in the trailer where he's walking through a crowd. And
in his underwear.
In his underwear. And I'm just like soaking it all in. And like, this is cinema right here. I'm just like, man, these are beautiful shots. Beautiful frames. Just outstanding performances all around. Like Zach Galifianakis is in this. And he's playing a completely different character. Like he's playing Michael Keaton's
agent
yeah. manager kind of thing. He's behind the scenes. He's like a producer or something. And he does a really great job.
I have a little bit of a thing for Andrea Riseborough, the woman who played Michael Keaton's girlfriend in the film.
Oh, yeah.
She was in Oblivion.
Yeah, that's
she was
right.
Tom Cruise's partner, whatever, yeah. whatever that was.
Yeah.
As I said, award-worthy stuff. I know we hate
yeah.
Oscars.
Yeah.
But I got a question for you.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
I had to look this up.
Yeah?
How old do you think Michael Keaton is?
I would guess 62.
He's 63.
No way, really? Wow, that's
man,
unbelievable.
That man does not look like he's 63.
No.
He looks like he did 20 years ago.
Yeah, he looks great.
Like, other than like the pecs...
Yeah,
he looks like Batman.
Yeah,
with less hair.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, yeah. Like yeah. I was shocked when I read that because this is like this is the stuff careers are made by, and he's 63 years old.
Yeah,
and where the hell was this 10 years ago?
Yeah,
instead of like being that driver thing and Need for Speed.
Yeah, like, and I think it's very obvious. This is kind of like art imitating life, and vice versa. The last time Keaton was like truly great, was like what, Jackie Brown?
Yeah.
He's done a lot of really good voice work since then, but that's,
he's really good in Jackie Brown.
Yeah. Yeah. So when I was looking at his stuff, I was like, man, that was like, you know, that's like what, 18 years ago or something like that.
Yeah. That's scary. Eh?
Yeah, it is hard to believe. And kudos to him, man. Like to take a role like this where he's, where people will think that it's him playing himself.
Or, I'm sure he brought a lot from his previous life in Hollywood.
Yeah.
But can I just say this? This is seriously, I think, one of the best films of the year.
Oh, yeah. It's up there.
I think you're going to love it more on the second viewing because I know you had that problem with your wallet and you were kind of out of it for the first half hour or so.
Yeah.
But I don't know how wide this film's opened. Like, we just got it, and it's been open in Vancouver for a month.
Yeah.
So you guys might not have it in your town yet, but holy crap, seek this one out.
Yeah, check it out as soon as you can. Yeah.
This is cinema, man.
Yeah. Oh, truly.
Yeah.
Pure cinema and just actors acting and a director just knocking it out of the park.
Yeah, along with Boyhood. Like, holy shit, this has been a really amazing year. And you throw the Dolan film in, and I hope people get to see The Tribe by the end of the year.
Yeah.
Really good year.
Oh, it's been amazing. It's been
some really bad films, but you can't go wrong.
Yeah.
Like Birdman.
Birdman.
Check it out.
It is amazing. And we're being deliberately vague on a lot of things because we want to save. There's a lot of really cool stuff going on.
There's a character in Interstellar who shows up about halfway through the film, and not on the posters.
Yeah,
not in any of the advertising. And a friend of mine was watching a trailer on some website, and the website said it. This person was in the film in like the second paragraph of the review.
Yeah,
and that is so shitty.
Oh, totally.
I purposely try not to say stuff like that. I purposely try not to ruin films for people.
Yeah.
And that was a ruining kind of thing for Interstellar. Oh,
big time.
Yeah. I don't understand that kind of philosophy.
Yeah, it's upsetting.
Yeah.
I don't get what anybody gets out of that.
Hey, shit. Another rant for Bill.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, hey, thanks for giving that away, asshole.
Yeah, pretty much.
You're an asshole, Dave.
Oh, dude!
That's from that shitty movie we saw at Viv.
Oh. It's like four people who's going to get that, but...
Now it's in your head, son. All right. Well, I guess, is that it on Birdman?
That is it on Birdman.
Go see Birdman.
Birdman. One of the best films of the year.
Okay, so I guess we should move on to the lightning round.
Lightning.
Yeah, that's our lightning round sound effect. Good transition. We talked briefly about movies we've watched that maybe don't deserve the main review.
So, Adrian, how many movies did you watch during the last 3 weeks?
3 weeks? I watched about maybe 10 movies.
Nice.
Which is super low, right?
Like, yeah.
That also includes, like, seeing John Wick a couple more times, and, like, Nightcrawler.
Nothing wrong with seeing John Wick again. Twice.
That's right.
And Nightcrawler.
Yeah. And repeats, like, a bunch of other stuff. Like, Identity is a movie I love. Watch that again. Forgot what else, but I watched E-Team on Netflix. It's a Netflix original documentary. It's about people who investigate in... predominantly the Middle East. They go to places like Libya, Syria.
Scary places.
Scary, scary places.
Yeah.
Places. They showed one scene, and this isn't a big spoiler because it's to be expected, but they show a scene where they have to sneak across the border. When they sneak, they freaking run into this border where foreigners are not allowed, and they have to go like undercover and conduct investigations, take photos, and they're going to places where they're getting bombed nightly by the military. They're just killing civilians. They're shooting them. They're bombing them. They're kidnapping them. They're torturing them. And these people are heroes. They're taking their findings, and they do very thorough investigations. Like, they're not just pointing fingers.
No.
They gather evidence. They conduct many interviews. They've got a very calculated approach to these things. And through the movie, there's moments where they're interviewing somebody and all of a sudden you hear fighter jets flying over top of them and you're like, wow.
And like the first scene of the film, they're like talking to some people and you hear boom, boom, boom in the background and they're like, oh, they're just bombing.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, whoa.
What the fuck's going on? Yeah, remember I told you, I was like, oh man, I just started E-Team, and first 3 minutes, I'm like losing my mind already. Yeah.
I watched this one too.
Oh, cool. All right.
It's really good. It's like a really good Vice documentary. I don't know if you guys ever watch or go on the Vice website and watch their documentaries. Really well done.
Yeah.
Netflix exclusive. Netflix is... kind of quietly killing the documentaries.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Because this, Battered Bastards of Baseball, also really damn good.
Oh, yeah. That was amazing.
Yeah. Just killing it. I really good movie, but tough.
It is a tough watch. Yeah,
be wary of that. It is pretty tough.
I could have sworn I saw them. I think they have another original as well.
Do they?
I need to research it.
Yeah.
Pretty sure I saw another original, but yeah, they're killing it. As soon as you see Netflix original, check it out. That's all I have for Lightning Round.
Yeah, buddy. I got a few. Out of Print, the documentary by Julia Marchese about the New Beverly Theater in Los Angeles.
Oh, right.
And how they are 35 millimeter stalwarts. Just celebrate film. I'm personally not really a big celebrator of film, but I still like the documentary. It's really entertaining. Yeah. The stuff they program is really nice. Mm-hmm. Really cool double features, a really good community. It's available for free on Vimeo.
Yeah, that's right.
Check it out. It's pretty good. VHS Viral. It's like every one of the VHS movies. There's like two good stories, and the story that sort of surrounds all the stories.
Oh, the wraparound
is terrible.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, same as all the other ones. The Nacho Vigalondo short is awesome.
Oh, cool.
The guys who made Spring, awesome film, have a short in it. It's really good. Rest of them suck.
Oh, too bad.
What are you gonna do? Nothing ever will touch Safe Haven from VHS2.
Yeah, that's the best.
Maybe the best horror short I've ever seen.
By far.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen VHS 2, you got to see that. Oh, just that one.
Yeah.
It's awesome. St. Vincent.
Oh, the Bill Murray,
Melissa McCarthy. Didn't somebody on your Twitter account say this was like their favorite film of all time? I'm not going to say their name, but this movie blew.
Oh, no way.
Bill Murray just being really annoying. All the female characters being subservient to his, like, gravity that is really shitty performances, like, surrounding them. I hated this film. There's nothing redeeming about it. Skip it. If you liked it, hey, I'm being mean again.
That's all right. You got it back.
I hate you if you like this film. These Final Hours, Australian post-apocalyptic, the world is ending film. They have, like, 12 hours before something, like a comet or something, hits the Earth and destroys the Earth. It's sort of like Lars von Trier's Melancholia, but not as dreary in Australia. It's pretty good. It's exactly what you think it is, but I kind of liked it.
Cool.
It doesn't pussy out.
Right on.
Good quality. Angry Video Game Nerd the Movie. You ever watch Angry Video Game Nerd on YouTube, where he reviews old, like, ColecoVision games and NES games? And,
okay, yeah, I've seen one or two of those.
Destroys these things.
Yeah.
Well, Shithead made a movie. It's one of the worst films of the year.
No way.
Yeah, it's awful. Avoid this one. Absolutely avoid this one.
Yeah.
Might be talking about this one in a couple months. You know what I mean?
When we do the recap.
Yeah. The Dog.
Oh, yes.
You ever seen Dog Day Afternoon?
You know, I haven't.
Really?
Yeah,
dude.
No, it's one of those embarrassing, no, I haven't seen it.
Adrian needs to take like a couple weeks off and watch some classics.
I do. Anything made before 1980, I haven't seen.
Okay, well, Dog Day Afternoon was about a bank robbery. Al Pacino, John Cazale, both gay men, and the Al Pacino character was robbing the bank to pay for his girlfriend's sex change.
That's
right. You think I'm joking, but I'm not.
Yeah, that's right.
Turns out Dog Day Afternoon was actually real.
Yeah.
This actually happened. Everything about what I just said actually happened. This guy robbed a bank to try to pay for his girlfriend's sex change operation.
That's awesome.
The movie's about him and his exploits and how much of a weirdo he kind of was. It's okay. It's not as good as you've heard. I'm kind of disappointed in, because I'd heard a lot of good.
Yeah, everybody's pimping that pretty hard.
Yeah, it's okay. Nothing great. Draft House Films. Finally, the last but not least, the most underrated film of the podcast, Stretch.
Oh, right,
The new Joe Carnahan film. starring Patrick Wilson as a limo driver who's having a really damn bad night.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Right on.
Because of Chris Pine.
Oh, is that right?
Who has a giant caveman beard and long hair and wants to be as coked out and drunk as humanly possible and do the weirdest shit possible.
Nice.
It's funny.
Right on.
Ending is terrible.
Yeah.
But the rest of the film is really fun and surprising as hell.
Cool.
And I'm not really the biggest Joe Carnahan fan.
Oh, you're not, eh?
No.
Smoking Aces and...
Narc.
The Gray.
Narc.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome
yeah.
film.
Yeah.
I'm not on the whole Gray bandwagon.
Oh, man. That's my shit, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm the only one.
Oh.
And I'm not afraid to say that.
You but, suck.
Yeah. It's a decent little film. Don't cool. expect much, but it's pretty fun.
Right on.
Stretch. Available on iTunes.
Yeah.
Because I don't own Apple stock.
Oh, yes. That's right. Yeah. Oh, it's also available on Netflix USA as well.
Really?
Yeah, it came out on USA Netflix about a week ago.
And if you're in Canada and you're not using USA Netflix, you're doing it wrong.
You fail.
Yeah, you're doing it wrong. That's it. I watched some movies.
Oh, wait. You watched The Overnighters as well, didn't you?
Oh, shit. Yeah, I did watch that.
I'm keeping track of your shit, too.
Speaking of documentaries I didn't really like as much as I thought I would, you watched this film like... First podcast, second podcast.
I forgot. It was like during the, what's that Toronto documentary festival?
Hot Docs.
Hot Docs. That's like the place to be for documentaries.
Yeah.
Got a lot of buzz out of there, but I watched it and I was like, ugh.
And everybody, it's being released now and everybody's loving it.
Yeah.
And I was just bored by it.
Yeah.
Like nothing happens in the first hour of the film. It's all the same stuff.
Yeah.
This guy helps people.
Yeah.
And he helps people. And, and it's like, okay, I get it. And you're weird. You're really creepy. And I think there's something kind of evil about you.
Yeah.
And then there's a twist. And I'm like, I texted Adrian. I'm like, I remember you not liking this film.
Yeah.
And you were the only one who didn't like the film.
Yeah, I was.
I'm with you, dude.
Now we're the only two who thought this was boring and garbage.
Easily, maybe the biggest hype film of the year that I've not liked. Sorry. Maybe you liked it. I didn't. And once again, I'm right.
Bill's right. I'm also right.
Yeah.
I wrote a review for it for nextprojection.com. And on there, I always try to be fair when I write a review. But I was very satisfied with my comments I had about the movie. And how basically it was just boring and had little to say. The M. Night Shyamalan twist during the movie was just like, I rolled my eyes. I was just like, fuck, whatever.
Yeah.
This movie sucks.
Yeah. Maybe you'll like it.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Yeah.
At least be able to tell me why you didn't like it.
That's right.
And that's it for me, unless Adrian remembers any other things I've watched.
I did just remember something. I wrote it down while you were doing your reviews. I watched the Snowpiercer critic commentary.
Oh, nice.
It was awesome.
Shit.
It's Scott Weinberg. He's predominantly genre kind of film critic. He's one of the best writers out there, not just for genre, but he's a great writer.
And a good dude.
Really nice guy. Really great guy.
It's funny. When we were at Fantastic Fest, I'm really weird at film festivals. I'm really into films.
Yeah.
And I don't... That's all I think about when I'm at film festivals. And I don't really talk to people. And literally the first 5 minutes we're at Fantastic Fest, Scott Weinberger shook my hand.
Yeah. Yeah. That was so cool. Yeah.
And I respect that.
Yeah.
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 It's out of the blue. He's like, hey, I'm Scott Weinberg.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, man, what's up? So, yeah. Definitely cool.
Really
sorry,
cool.
Sorry
guy.
For hijacking.
Oh, no, it's all good. He invited some of his friends to join him on the commentary. So he gets all these other critics like James Rocky, Jen Yamamoto, Drew McQueenie,
Will Goss.
I'm probably forgetting two, but he brings these people in and they have really cool things to say about Snowpiercer and just how it's about as international film as you will ever find.
Yeah.
Both in the cast, the crew, the production, and it really truly represents the world. And they had a lot of really cool things to say about the movie. It was just kind of fun. It's, you know, commentary tracks. I'm a big sucker for those because it's like you're watching, sitting on your couch watching it with them next to you. So it was pretty cool to hear Weinberg talk about Snowpiercer, and just to hear his passion about the film just got me super jacked up and super happy for the guy, because he really deserves the world. He deserves whatever he wants.
How that guy does not have a major outlet right now.
Yeah.
That just shows how stupid film criticism is nowadays. Like, it's the truth, man. Like,
yeah.
I think he's a really good writer.
Yeah.
He's really genre-based. You're not going to find a dude who likes horror more than Scott Weinberg.
Yeah.
He seems like a really cool guy. I got to get that disc.
Yeah.
I don't like the ending, but I do want to hear that commentary track.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really good stuff.
Tell you the truth, I saw it again on the big screen at Van City like 2 months ago before VIFF. Mm-hmm. And I think I liked it more the second time.
Oh, cool.
But I still have problems with it.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully they will sway me in a different direction.
That's right. Yeah. They do have some really cool things to say. And Weinberg really made me think about things that I say about movies, especially with Snowpiercer. He said he hates it when he hears people say, here's what I'd change with the movie, here's what I would have done. And he's like, well, that's you. You're not the filmmaker. This is the decision they made. You're just going to have to take it or leave it kind of thing. And he elaborates on it a little further.
But I'm right.
Yeah, Bill's right. That's correct. But he talks about how it's bordering on being disrespectful. And I can see where he comes from with that, just in terms of artistic visions and all that and intentions. So
hopefully it's cheap on Boxing Day.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah, that's my other addition to the lightning round. Guess we should move into movies that are coming up between now and the next time we record. You said it was pretty light.
There's a couple big ones, but it's pretty light. November 14th, Dumb and Dumber 2. I know somebody who's seen this.
Oh, really?
And they said it was pretty funny.
Oh, cool.
Shout out to Mark McLeod.
Right on.
But he says it's pretty funny. Don't think that's possible after that trailer, but hey, I'm going to give it a try.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this one, actually. I love these characters, and I hope it's kind of the Farrelly brothers. I haven't really enjoyed much of their stuff.
They haven't made a good movie in 15 years.
So I kind of hope it's a rebirth for the Farrelly brothers, and maybe Jim Carrey will get back to being Jim Carrey that made him who he is now. I don't know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only other movie that week is Beyond the Lights, which is about like a pop star, kind of looks like a Rihanna kind of character who doesn't like the spotlight and wants to become more humanized or something. I watched the trailer. Doesn't look bad.
Okay.
Nah. It won't open here, so it doesn't really matter. It looks decent. Probably the big movie of the next month, because it's going to be number one for the next month, The Hunger Games, November 21st, Mockingjay, Part 1.
Part 1.
Part 1. Because the third book didn't suck that bad. They had to make two movies out of it. Because the third book is awful.
Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Adrian doesn't read.
What are books? Yeah.
I only watch movies.
I don't read good.
Yeah. So, yeah, we all love Hunger Games. We all love the Katniss. Pretty much the only young adult I like, it seems.
Yeah, I enjoyed the second one.
The second one's really good.
Yeah.
First one's shot by a fucking spastic, and it's terrible.
with limp wrists.
I know. Like, the camera is everywhere, and it just drove me nuts. But the second one is really damn good.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's hoping this one's just as good. But the third book sucks. November 28th, Horrible Bosses 2.
Yeah.
Were you a fan of the first?
I really enjoyed the first.
So did I. Yeah. Well, it was good.
Charlie Day just being hilarious.
I love Charlie Day. Sunny in Philadelphia? So good.
I've only seen a few episodes. So.
Kitten Mittens? Come on.
yeah.
Penguins of Madagascar.
Ooh, there's
Don't
be skipping.
Give a flying fuck about that film. I hated the Madagascar films with a passion. Especially Madagascar 2. It's one of the worst films I've ever seen.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen them at all.
You're not missing a lot.
Yeah.
Chris Rock just going, saying loud words a lot.
Nice.
Polka dot zebra, or whatever the hell he says. And the last, Just a little bit of a mention. The Babadook.
Oh, yes.
Is limited. It's a good film.
Yeah, worth seeing.
Just don't expect a lot from it.
Yeah.
We're the only people that think that.
Yes.
And we're not afraid to say that.
Yeah.
But a lot of people have liked it.
Yeah, a lot of people loved it.
A lot. So Babadook is end of the month is limited. The Imitation Game with Benedict Cumberbatch as Alan Turing, whatever the fuck his name is.
Yeah.
The guy who broke the Enigma code.
That's right.
For the English against the Germans.
Whoa, spoiler alert, dude.
That's in a trailer. If you don't know that.
Whoa, spoilers, man.
The trailer also says he's gay, too.
Whoa.
No. Looks really good. But kind of looks like it might be like a big awards movie, so I'm a little bit wary of that.
Yeah.
But other than that, Whistler Film Festival.
Bring it on, man.
Yeah. We're going to Whistler for another film festival that I totally can't afford to go to in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And Imitation Game is at the Whistler Film Festival.
Yeah, opening night film.
Opening film.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. Good for Whistler for getting that in. That's awesome.
Yeah, they've got that and a bunch of other films that I wanted to see. Mm-hmm. The one I really wanted to see was Still Alice.
Okay.
A lot of people are saying Julianne Moore. It's really amazing in it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah, Whistler. Hopefully we won't be as tired this time if we do a podcast.
Yes.
Those Fantastic Fest ones, man.
Yeah. Well, the cold will keep us awake because last year was brutal.
Oh, dude, it better not be that cold again.
It was punishing.
Seriously, I don't own a jacket.
That's right. Yeah. I'll lend you a jacket, man.
Yeah.
Come snuggle over here, man.
Just be that dude walking down in Whistler Village with a sleeping bag on.
That's right.
A mummy bag.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Well, upcoming films at other local venues, the Vic Theater. Life's a Breeze starts November 7th, plays through November 12th. That's a cute little film.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah, what happens? There's a fortune hidden in a mattress that's in a dump somewhere in Ireland.
Yes, I want to say. Scotland.
They
speak in a different language.
Where they talk funny.
They sound like Colin Farrell.
That's right. Yeah, it's about greed, and it's very funny. It's charming. It's cute. And the Victoria audience will eat it up.
Yeah, your grandmother will love it.
Grandmother will lose her mind. What else is playing at Vic? Hector and the Search for Happiness. You like that one.
That's a good movie.
November 21st through 23rd. And that's about it.
The Vic is like second run all of a sudden.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Cinecenta, they have their secret screening. It's on the 18th of November at 7:15. What did they play last year?
They did.
No, they didn't.
They took a year off.
2 years ago, they played Rust and Bone, and that was pretty cool.
We'd already both seen it, though, hadn't we?
Yeah. Yeah. That was the very first VIF film I watched, was Rust and Bone, and that was what a way to start.
Did Adrian cry?
I cried a lot in that movie. My mascara was running. It was a mess. So that's on the 18th of November. 19th and 20th, the Congress plays. I still haven't seen that, so maybe I'll check it out there.
Damn good film.
Yeah. We'll probably talk about this on the next show as well, but God Help the Girl plays on the 1st and 2nd of December. Bill loved that film. I haven't seen it yet. I
love that film.
Yeah. And we'll talk about this again, but Force Majeure plays December 9th through 11th at Cinecenta, and it's amazing.
It's an underrated film.
Big time.
Nobody's heard of that film.
Yeah.
you will hear that film.
Oh, yes.
It's going to be big.
Yeah. So that's it for upcoming films. I guess we should pimp our stuff. Where can people find you, Bill?
They can find me on Twitter, and only on Twitter, because I am not social.
That's right.
I am at SoundJam69.
Yeah.
Say hi.
Hi.
I won't respond.
I listen to your podcast.
Literally all I do is like retweet sports stuff, put my movie ratings down, and talk about footy.
That's right.
A lot of footy.
That's right. All good. And I am on Twitter I am at @Adrian_Charlie. The show has a Twitter account, @TheGreen_Screen. You can also find us on Facebook. Just run a search for The Green Screen of Death. We will pop up. Hit like. Join the conversation. We also have an Instagram account. It's The Green Screen of Death, no spaces. You can also find us on multiple platforms. You can find us on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher. You can go to our Podbean website. Any client on your mobile device that plays podcasts, just run a search for The Green Screen of Death. You'll see us. And we'd appreciate any comments or ratings, as that helps us find a wider audience.
Bill, stop being a pussy.
Yeah, that's right. Toven up for the next show, man.
So, momentary lapse.
That's right.
This happened a couple podcasts ago, too. I was like really positive.
That's true.
I felt really sick.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so I guess until next time, we will check in with you from Whistler Film Festival. We'll have a bunch of stuff to say about that. And so until next time, thanks very much for listening. Have a good night.
Peace.